Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we appreciate you being a part of our broadcast. And we're excited about today's show. Just want to encourage you to be encouraged. You know, the Bible says that we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So we're going to talk about that just for a few minutes. Then we're going to have a great guest coming up right behind us on the segment two. It's going to be Miss Kim Katola. She's no stranger to the show. She's with us. She was with us in the fall of last year. We had a real good show with her, and we hope to follow up on that. Praise God. Praise God. I know that God is going to do something wonderful as we put our hearts out there and our hearts of faith. Amen. Our address is David. Our email address is david@revmedianetwork.com. david@revmedianetwork.com. And we are excited just to be here today trying to get things rolling. Had a little late start here, and equipment things as usual, trying to get them all searched out, put together really quick to make things happen for you. You can write us by snail mail, as they call it today, or the post office that we're trying to keep alive, and you can write us at Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You know, I've been looking at the different types of radio shows that they have online, and looking at different types of broadcasts, and we're pretty unique the way we do things here. We have an interview, plus we have a little bit of a teaching. And I'm always looking to see how we can add to the show and see what we can do. You have to hear this little noise in the background. Is my Coca-Cola getting poured. I love Coca-Cola. So it's about 11:17 here in Houston, and we have people listening early morning and overnight, so they're used to me drinking some kind of Coke or hearing water, because my throat gets real dry when I'm talking on the air for a while. So that's how it is. But as I was looking at these shows, I was looking at Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN and how they do their show. And we're not talk jocks. We're not that type of sport broadcaster, but I like some things they were doing there. And then I looked at some other stuff, and we used some new equipment in the studio the other day just to test out some different kind of broadcasting. It allows you to put anything on there. And I always wondered how Dana, you know, Dana from Warren Radio, he's back on the air with us in the evenings from 11 to 12, and he always has this neat things happening on his screens. I think one of the times that my kids, who they monitor the web for me whenever we have a broadcast, and he showed his, basically like you were in Central Park with a big screen in the middle where everybody was selling blankets and, yeah, you know, just laying down watching the screen, and his picture was on the screen, you know, so that's how it looked on his broadcaster. And I just want to tell you that those kind of things are neat. So we're messing with stuff. So a lot of it here is through radio, and I think I'm going to keep it separate, because I was thinking of putting some more video into this, but I want to keep radio separate than the video. The video that we have is on Midwatch TV, and we have done a lot of work this last month. We've came into our season now, which is about six shows that we put together, six episodes. We're doing two shows every time we get together and knocking it out. So if you see me in the same t-shirt or same shirt in two consecutive shows, then that's because we shot it the same day. And I could go bring some more shirts, I guess, and just leave them here at the station for me. But we just started that, and I'm getting my groove. You know, on the radio here, I've been doing this for quite some time. I can interview people really well, and by God's grace, of course, and I can talk to people about different things, and this is really, I'm at my best just doing this radio thing real easy, and I'm pushing myself to do video, which I can do that just as well. But it, you know, I've been doing this radio since, like I told you last time, a few shows back, I've been doing radio since I was a youngster, and 18, 19, and got away from it. But now, 2003, I think, went on the air, 2001, something like that, 2002, and was on the air for about 3 or 4 years, on the regular radio stations, and then created the online radio network, and that was in 2009, so 9, 10, 11, 12, and now we're 13, 5 years. This May is, oh, praise God, I just realized this. This May is our 5-year anniversary, so I have to write down that we got to do something. 5 years, can you imagine that? 5 years, that's amazing. Can you imagine being on the air on your own broadcast network for 5 years? 5 years, can you believe that? That's amazing. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of finances, and it takes a lot of commitment just to keep the show running. But to run an entire station for 5 full years, and we're just starting to get over that crest that we need, that breakthrough that we need. And I want you to stand with me. I want you to believe with me right now that this month, the month of May, the 5th year of Rev Media Network, that we are going to be blessed. That we're going to have the breakthrough that we need, that we're going to see great things happen, and we're going to see God just moving amazing things. Because I tell you what, there's always challenges whenever you're doing things for God. Don't ever think just because you hear a good word over you, or just because you read the word and you find good words in there as well, and because you hear a good sermon, that tomorrow there can ever not be a problem. Problems are going to hit you every time you stand for God. The difference is that when you stand for God and know that God is going to move for you is when you just lift your hands and you get excited and believe and you change the way you think. Don't think you're a victim. Don't think that you're a person that just is not getting it or just getting it done and that you're an outcast. Don't ever think you're an outcast. And take it from me. Don't think you're the Lone Ranger. God has put people around you to build you and to encourage you to make a better ministry, but also make you better in life. Divine connections, divine friendships, those things God put in front of you. 20 years, I've been basically in the same area, back and forth, just here and there, in the area that I'm living in now and staying and visiting. And over those 20 years, I created a lot of friendships. And those friendships are strong, are strength to me when I need strength and I need to bounce something off someone. I just had a great encouragement talk with Pastor David Hope, a good friend of mine and my pastor for many, many years before I moved to another church just recently. And we just talked and encouraged each other. There's something about what the word says, an iron sharpeneth iron. I don't know if I say iron right, iron, but anyway, iron sharpens iron, is such as a good friend sharpens another one's countenance. You know, you have to have a good friend in your life, someone to help you get over the mess that we all get into. Amen? Throat's getting dry there. Sorry about that, but I had to get something in there. Anyway, this is the 5th year. It just hit me right now. That is why, you know, the last 3 days have been horrendously hard. Every time that I see a blessing of God that's going to bless me, that's going to encourage my life, that's going to be a big position in my home, and whatever God has is going to bless either the house or the ministry or my business, there is a fight, praise God. And it's not a fight between me, but it's a fight in the heavenlies. What God is trying to bring me, just like they tried to bring Daniel, his prayer request, is being halted by the enemy fighting it. The enemy don't want you blessed. The enemy doesn't want you to have good things. The enemy wants you to be sad and depressed and go and hide yourself. But God don't want that. God wants you to pick up your hand. He wants you to praise him in the midst of your storm. He wants you to lean on him, for he has all understanding. And when you do that, God says, don't worry, child. Don't worry. I love you. I love you with all my being. In fact, I gave you my son, Jesus Christ, so that you may have life and have it, what? More abundantly. Now, God is a good God, a God that blesses, a God that gives, a God that rewards, a God that is faithful, that doesn't sleep nor slumber, nor is always awake doing the work and will of his will. Amen. Well, I'm getting all preachy on you. Just want to get you encouraged, get you excited, because I tell you, there's someone out there that's going through the same thing that I've been through, going through the same thing that my pastor has gone through some things as well. And just to encourage yourself, it is when you're waiting for the promise, it is anticipation of the promise is almost worse than not having a promise at all, my friends. When you're believing God for great things in your ministry, great things in your life, and then you don't have it and you don't see it, it gets you depressed, it gets you sad. But when you just hold on to the promise, believe God that He has it, believe God that it is there, believe God that there is a power that is stronger than natural man. Praise God. You know, a good friend told me once, can't God outbless man? And isn't that true? Isn't that true? Can God outbless man? I believe He can. I truly believe He can. I know He can. And I want you to be encouraged no matter what job is not there right now. I'll give you a testimony. A couple of my friends, two good supporters of my ministry, Hector and Diana, they had a hard time. Hard time. Can you imagine going 2 years, 2 years being qualified and having the strength and physical ability to do work, and all of a sudden, there's no job anywhere opening up? They went through a long, long time of waiting and waiting for the promise. And the moment that they told me they didn't have any employment, I told them that God will provide. And they had a home that they had to sell, and it didn't sell. And I said, don't worry, God has a reason that this house hasn't sold. He will provide until it's time to sell it. And do you know, today they still have that house. I just listed it for them. But the other thing is this. The same month they got a job, and the same month we were able to list their property, and now the market's changed, and now their property's going to sell more than what they were selling before. But not only that, the promise was so wonderful. It was a wonderful job that they got, a job that was only divinely brought to them, working for a Christian-based company in a way, or a lot of people that are Christian there. And these people are just being blessed now. God has opened the windows of heaven, and He's pouring down a blessing on them. And I hear them every week. We hear from them, and they're doing great. He said, oh, David, we didn't know what to do but to cry with joy that God has done something for us so wonderful. And they call me to let me know that they're continuing to support the ministry in India and the ministry here in the States. And they were just excited, so excited. So those kind of things, those kind of rewards that God has, those promises will come to pass. He is not a God that He should lie. He is not a God that He should lie, nor is He a man that He should lie. God is not a man that He should lie, but if He said it, He will do it. He will do it. There is plenty of things that we all see in life that tries to keep us from where we want to be. Try to keep us from where we know we're supposed to be. And when we let those things keep us, we go and hide. We go and get discouraged. But don't you know that to be encouraged and to reach onto faith, you need brothers and sisters in faith around you. I know sometimes I don't want to be around happy people when I'm going through something. And that's the truth. Why don't I want to be around happy people when there's something that I'm going through? I don't want them to understand me. And then definitely don't want to go to a spirit-filled church, because then people can read me. That I have the gift of knowledge on them. They go, brother, what you going through? That's good to get encouragement, but sometimes you just don't want anyone to know your business. I understand that. Praise God. I totally do. And that is okay. That is okay. But when you get some strength, when you get some encouragement, when you taste like Jonathan tastes that little bit of honey in the honeycomb when they were fasting and went through war and were tired. Oh, it renews your body. It gives you strength. It opens up an attitude of expectation. It gives you ideas. It gives you clarity. Praise God. And God wants a lot of you to have clarity right now. We're excited about our guests coming up in the next month, next 5 minutes. We'll be back in just a few minutes with that. For now, we're just excited to have what God says is a good God. Amen. Is a God of provision. And we're always going to be glad for that. And I just want you to be encouraged that many times we look at life and we're like, I can't get through this. I can't get through life like this. And it gets discouraging. So I want to encourage you. I want to tell you God has good things for you. And that we'll be right back in just a few minutes. God bless you.
60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
Some say Secretary was the greatest horse that ever lived, but it didn't stop the critics with a lot of negative talk, which didn't cause his owner Penny Tweedy or Big Red to quit. First, they said this 1,100-pound chestnut stallion was too slow getting out of the gate, and he couldn't win in a 3-mile race because he didn't have any endurance. Then, while running the Belmont Stakes, they said the pace was too fast, that it was impossible to keep up that stride, that his heart would burst. And yet, in record-setting time, he won the Belmont race by 31 lengths to be the last Triple Crown winner in 25 years. Hey, Secretary didn't quit, so don't you quit when you face your critics and skeptics, okay? At least, not today. Now go to asecondlookatsports.org.
This is David Yanez with Rev Media Network. Just want to take a couple of minutes to talk to you about Second Look at Sports and a 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen. These programs have been broadcasting with us for about a year now. We broadcast the 30-minute programs, the Second Look at Sports, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. at 7:30 p.m. And I tell you, they have been a part of a huge afternoon growth from 3 to 5 p.m. that has been a blessing. To see on the stats, we've seen these numbers just growing. We have a lot of listeners listening between those time slots, and it's a huge blessing to see that these shows are touching people. Now, a 60-second look at sports has been used on our music channel, our sermon channel, our talk radio channel. These three channels broadcast 24/7, and we have these 60-second slots that we throw them in throughout the day. So almost after every show and after almost every broadcast that we have, even other commercials, you'll hear Dr. Dwight Allen, and you hear some old 60-second look at sports, and you hear the current ones, and we just mix them up and throughout all the channels that we have on the station. And it's a blessing because we're seeing people touched, and being a sports fan that I am, and just being an athlete, I love hearing these stars, these athletes, these coaches, people just talking about Jesus, just talking about the things that God is doing in them life. So it's a blessing to see this type of shows put together. I know there's a lot of work in it. There's a lot of quality in it, because I tell you what, we've had over 745,000 people visit our site in the last month alone. And I believe that a part of that growth, and a big part of that growth, is the quality that these programs like a 60-second look at sports and a second look at sports have brought to our broadcasting station. So I want to tell you, Dr. Dwight Allen is doing a great, great job. We here at the station, we call him Coach just because of all the sports things that he does. And I tell you, he is a blessing to us, and it's a privilege to be broadcasting his programs, but also to be partnering with him in ministry and just seeing the people of God being touched. People all over the world are hearing these programs on our station, and I believe that they're just being blessed with it. God bless you. Thank you so much. Listen to a 60-second look at sports, a second look at sports throughout our broadcasting station at revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. I have a blessed day.
Believing you're going to heaven does not make it so. Believing God is what makes you know. Believing you're okay does not make it true. Believing God is what carries one through. Believing we're not so bad can take us to hell. Realizing we're sick can make us well. Faith in faith cannot deliver, but faith in God will fail you never. When we see God, we cry, "Woe is me," and that transforms us to the image we see. As in a glass, God's glory beholding, a new vessel now the potter is molding. Then those who escape will remember their ways, now loathing themselves for the evil of those days. But this change brings joy to be his own, under his shadow, and no more alone. Church of the King, McAllen.org, on Ware Road, 1/2 mile north of Lark, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself, and you can't lose.
Modern psychology would say, make Junior feel better about himself, and his behavior will improve. His rebellion and acting out comes from his poor self-image. But how does this line up with the biblical principle to think of ourselves with sober judgment? Do I really want a juvenile delinquent feeling good about being a juvenile delinquent? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with Shepherd's Hill Farm, bringing it back to Scripture. Kids feel better about themselves when they exercise self-restraint, because self-restraint is, in itself, an accomplishment. Kids and adults alike feel better about themselves when they accomplish things, especially noble things. Not understanding the spiritual aspect of humans, pop psychology would call this repression. Scripture calls it self-control. Without healthy parental authority to jumpstart a child's self-control by demanding it, a child left to himself disgraces himself and his parents.
At Shepherd's Hill Farm, troubled teens learn that responsibilities and obligations are to be exercised before rights and privileges can be enjoyed. Visit Shepherd's Hill Farm online at shfteens.org.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
And welcome back to the show. We have a guest returning, so that's always good. Miss Kim Cotola, how are you doing, Kim?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to come back. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, we enjoyed you the last time we had you, and definitely with what's going on lately with the media and stuff. Tell us what you've been involved in, what you've been following lately.
Well, you know, my main project is Cradle My Heart Radio, which is our weekly broadcast where we bring in guests who have had an abortion in their past, as I did, and we find out what the path to healing has been so that they get restored in the Lord and give encouragement to others who need that same restoration. Last week we had Zig Ziglar's daughter, Julie Ziglar Norman, and what a sweet story about how her dad stood by her when he learned the news that she had had two abortions in her past. Coming up this week, we've got one of the stars of the reality show on Lifetime, Preacher's Daughters, Victoria Koloff, the former wife of the wrestler Nikita Koloff. It's just, you never know who's going to come in each week. So I'm really excited about that because, like I say, you never know who has had an abortion. So it is such a commonplace problem, and it is such a shared experience, and yet it's still so shameful and silenced. And we just assume, well, I don't know anybody who's had that in their past. Well, you don't know whether they have or not, even if it's someone who's very close to you. So that's part of what God has given us to do, is to help shine a light on not the fact that somebody had an abortion, but the fact that Jesus can heal us.
Amen. Amen. And then you've been recently also following some of the Justice Department stuff. What have you been following on that?
Well, there's so many stories of abortion in the news. I mean, the Justice Department recently overruled the FDA, which people may have heard that the FDA a few weeks ago approved Plan B, emergency contraception, to be sold over-the-counter for 15-year-olds. Right now it requires a prescription, a doctor's supervision, and the age of 17. Well, the FDA said no. They thought that would be just fine to make this widely available to younger teens. But the Obama administration's Justice Department stepped in and appealed that ruling, so now it's back on hold. And, you know, there's some speculation because the Justice Department and the Obama administration declined to comment about what their reasoning was for appealing the FDA ruling. But I applaud it all the same because it just is not in the interest of the public health to be dispensing emergency contraception to 15-year-olds without a parent or a doctor being in the loop. It's a public health nightmare. So,
So they would be able just to go into any pharmacist and purchase that and just show an ID or something?
Yes. Feminist, and isn't this interesting? We don't even give government IDs to 15-year-olds, right?
Right, yeah. So how's that going to even...
My goodness.
The library card. That's all they get.
Oh, my goodness. You know?
Wow.
And it was an agenda item for the radical feminists, and they have been working on the judges and on the people that are in the decision-making position since 2003. They thought it was a big victory that the FDA ruled in their favor, that parents aren't the ones to make good decisions about their children, that it's the FDA and the feminist, you know, ideologues that need that decision. But even President Obama, when he did comment back in 2011, said he thought that this was best left in the hands of families. And so at least we have, you know, that much to look for in our president's leadership on this issue. Of course, the other big story has been the Kermit Gosnell trial in Philadelphia, and the jury is still out. They have been deliberating for a week now, and so no news of a verdict as yet on 5 felony counts of murder, which could cost Dr. Gosnell a death sentence. And
For those not familiar with the case, can you give us the highlights of it?
Dr. Gosnell, who, by the way, was never board certified as a gynecologist or obstetrician, was doing late-term abortions on women from his clinic in Philadelphia, which the last time it was inspected was 1993. And he was investigated because they thought the authorities thought he was running a pill mill. So the FBI went in to see what was going on behind closed doors, not about abortion, but about illegal, you know, use of his prescription drug writing powers. Well, what they found was squalor and fetal remains everywhere. They found women moaning who had been over-medicated with anesthesia. It triggered a grand jury investigation. And when the grand jury turned in their report in 2011, the result was 8 felony counts of murder, seven for infants born alive who Gosnell then killed by snipping their spinal cords, and one count of third-degree murder for overdosing one of his patients on anesthesia through negligence. Kanamayer Mungar, she was a refugee from Bhutan, and poor, and an immigrant, as I say, and she died because he didn't have anybody on staff who was an actual anesthesiologist, and his facility was, the emergency door was locked and chained, and when she went into respiratory arrest, it took 20 minutes for the emergency personnel in the ambulance to get her out of that facility. So during the course of the trial, the judge dismissed a few of the charges. He said there was no evidence the infants had been born alive and then murdered. But in the case of the others, after 5.5 weeks of prosecution witnesses, Dr. Gosnell called not one person in his own defense, relying only on his attorney's closing arguments. Then the attorney argued that he was being targeted because he was a black man, that he was being targeted by elitist prosecutors who expected a poor clinic in West Philadelphia to operate to Mayo Clinic standards. And it was a stunning argument for those who are concerned with truth that, you know, he projected out all of Dr. Gosnell's failings out onto the prosecutors and onto the jury. That if anybody found anything wrong with this hero of the poor, as he portrayed him, then they were the problem. One detail to note, by the way, that yes, these women were desperate and poor, but Dr. Gosnell was found to have $250,000 in cash under the bed in his home. He was raking in $2 million a year on the misery of women who thought that they were entering into some sort of safe practice. He had had numerous malpractice decisions where he had lost in settlements outside of, you know, trials, and he was trying to avoid more lawsuits, I guess, by the way that he had developed this method for allowing the children to be born. He would give drugs to trigger an early delivery, and then he would snip their spine.
Man. That's animalistic. That's horrible. That's horrible. And so the verdict is still out on it. They haven't came back with one.
The jury is still deliberating. But what I think is so striking about this is that, you know, when you look at that grand jury evidence, and they have pictures of the babies, and they were viable. They were 6, 7, 8 month babies. Babies who certainly could live if given proper medical care. You can't deny it when you see these pictures. But what also happens as you look at the pictures is that this evidence just demands a verdict in our hearts. You know, a baby may be much smaller at 12-week gestation when we're still calling this baby a fetus, but it's no less human, and you cannot deny it. You cannot deny how wrong it is to pretend that the remains of the 42 fetuses they found in freezers and in medical waste bags in his facility were not full human beings at the time of their demise at his hands. We have got to decide as a country if this is all right with us. And God help us if that's where our decisions land after seeing all of this evidence, which is just irrefutable, that abortion kills. You cannot deny it when you see the evidence.
That's amazing. Now, how's the media been treating you? I personally haven't seen much on it being in Houston, Texas. I think I see maybe one or two clips on the main media that we have as far as the main local station.
Well, the media coverage, The media coverage became a story because after about 5 weeks of prosecution testimony, and his employees all took plea bargains, by the way. They all agreed to testify in exchange for plea bargains. And so as each of them was giving their testimony now in the trial, it was just so horrific, but very difficult to find any sort of live coverage. And Kristen Powers wrote an editorial about how wrong that was, which appeared in USA Today, and she claimed there was a media blackout because this story doesn't fit with the liberal talking points that abortion is good for women, that abortion is something women need. This story just didn't fit. And then someone else tweeted a picture of the media section of the courtroom, which was empty. Rows and rows and rows of seats reserved for media, empty. So it's not surprising you haven't heard about it. The judge had ordered a gag rule, and so he had ordered the attorneys not to be speaking to the media. Part of that was because there was so much evidence against Dr. Gosnell going into this trial. They didn't want to prejudice the jury by learning anything more about what was going to be presented about who he is other than the evidence in the trial. So, there are, if you Google Gosnell trial, you'll now be able to find stories about it. And I hope that the verdict is going to make national news. It'll be a game changer either way.
Wow.
As I say, it'll be determining which way this country decides we're going on the question of abortion, I think.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, does anyone know the judge's stand on abortion? What's his political views on that?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. Many people were shocked that he dismissed some of the charges of infanticide against Gosnell. But his defense is these babies were not. You cannot prove that they were born alive and then killed. His defense was that he had injected them with a Joxin direct to the heart, and that they were born, if they were born moving, it was death throes, that they were going, there was no saving them, so there was no point in trying to save them if they were born with signs of life. But all of the medical testimony from other medical professionals during the prosecution phase of the trial showed no evidence that he had made any injections with the Joxin, that it was simply more expedient for him to trigger an early birth and kill the children later, which is, again, that's murder, that's infanticide, that is not abortion by anybody's definition.
Wow, and for those people that are listening and they have heard the word abortion, they know the term, they know what they possibly know, may know what's done. But for those that never had one, just share, if you like to share about this, what actually goes on during an abortion?
The thing is, I had an abortion when I was 23 years old. I asked, is it a baby? Because I was 12 months along when I learned that, yes, I was pregnant, and, 12 weeks along. And I was told, no, it's just tissue. It's just a missed period. So, as women, forgive me, but I mean, we deal with our flow and we know what that looks like. And that's what I pictured, And so, as the evidence came forward in this trial that, the prosecutors had to take the remains of the 42 fetuses, children, babies, they were in a freezer where the staff was also storing their lunch. They had to thaw the bodies out to estimate how old they were at the time of their demise, as Dr. Gosnell would have his staff say, fetal demise is what they were doing. They were bringing about fetal demise. It struck me all over again. My baby had a body at 12 weeks, a fully formed human body, head, spine, hands, feet. And it caused a new wave of grief for me. And I think that, anybody listening to this conversation who has an abortion in their past, and if they're still listening, has got to be feeling just as grieved as that made me feel. Because, a typical DNC, to answer your question directly, it's a suction aspiration where they empty the contents of the uterus, which means they're pulling the baby and the amniotic fluid out of the mother's body. And because, the body is very fragile, at the age when DNCs can still be performed up to, I think, 16 weeks maybe, you know, it dismembers the body.
Mm.
And, you know, many people will have complications because if the body breaks apart and a little arm or foot or leg is left there, it could perforate the uterus. Many women have had that complication, which, you know, can impact your future fertility. Even if you're given a medical abortion, which is, you know, pills, now you go home and it triggers a miscarriage is what happens.
Wow.
You know, you're left by yourself, and generally it's teenagers who are getting the medical abortions with pills. They send them home, you know, they give them these pills, they tell them what to expect, and then they leave them. And I've heard stories from girls who will tell me, you know, that at 12 weeks along, you can see a fetus, it will land about the size of your palm. Mm. And yes, they're confronted with that when the miscarriage occurs. Extremely traumatic. There's no method of abortion yet devised that doesn't shed the innocent blood of the child. Mm. And this is how we know that it's wrong.
And
from conception, the children have separate DNA from their mothers, their own blood.
And from this trial, it brought a lot of stuff to confront again in your heart.
Well, and God, you know, for me, I was healed of the abortion in 2001 with a direct experience of Christ's love for me, when I knew without doubt that he had received the child that I aborted into heaven by his unmerited favor toward me and his infinite grace toward my child, his mercy, you know, to redeem what I had destroyed, just set my heart free of the shame and the guilt and the grief that I'd experienced for
Amen.
23 years
Amen.
At that point. You know, but you have to surrender your heart fully to the Lord in order to be able to receive such a great and precious gift. And, you know, it's not impossible to do, and there are organizations that are helping women do this every day through the pregnancy health movement and post-abortion ministry. And again, if you're listening and you have an abortion in your past and it's shattering thinking about this today, don't delay. Call for help. There are people standing by ready to help you 24/7 through the National Helpline, through Option Line. You can go to my website at cradlemyheart.org. And look on the sidebar and you'll find all kinds of organizations who understand, who care, who will confidentially walk you through the steps to healing that I have found.
Amen. Now your book, Cradle My Heart, how hard was it to get 10 women to share their stories as well as you share yours so openly?
You know, I traveled with Ruth Graham in a conference ministry, and so I would present information about the healing and the hope that I have found through the Gospels and the healing miracles of Christ. You know, I would take them through what he did for people and say, how does this apply to our problems spiritually after abortion? And then women would just come and tell me their stories. You know, I change details and protect people's, you know, privacy
Sure.
in the way that I share the stories in the book, so you would never be able to recognize who's who. But the essential facts of the story are true. And many of them have very different stories than me. I mean, I was 23 years old, using birth control in a long-term relationship. The birth control failed. The relationship fell apart when he insisted that we were aborting, not marrying, you know. And then career became my god as I thought, well, I've just got to take care of myself in life. So I had a lot to overcome by the time, you know, God got a hold of me 23 years after that abortion. But I tell the stories in my book of women who, you know, they were threatened with violence by a partner. That's a very common scenario. They were not aware that they were carrying twins and have double guilt after they learned in the abortion that a twin was aborted as well as the one they thought they were aborting. There are women who will find themselves in eating disorders or promiscuity or addictions because of being unable to cope with the after effects of the abortion. Every choice for abortion, I think, represents a separate need of the heart. But the good news is the healing path is the same for each one of us through the love of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Now, what are the statistics for abortion being in the church? A lot of people think that's just something that we don't deal with, but obviously it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, for one thing, being a Christian doesn't mean we don't know people in church who aren't divorced or have drinking problems. I mean, it's coming more to light how men in church have issues with pornography, just like the rest of the world, right? I mean, the church is in the world. Unfortunately, some of us are still of the world. And, you know, the thing is, about 78% of women who abort report some Christian faith. Protestant and Catholic, it divides along the same lines as the percentages in the general population. And I think there's something else at play, too. You know, in Christian high schools and Christian colleges, showing up pregnant is not okay. And sometimes the church is even the driver of the abortion decision. And, of course, there are pro-choice denominations that are leading women into this destruction that, you know, that somehow have justified it theologically. So abortion is definitely present in the church.
Amen. Amen. Now, tell us about your radio broadcast that you have.
Well, Cradle My Heart Radio airs Sunday evenings, and it's live at 9 o'clock on the East Coast and Eastern Time. And every week we bring you somebody's story. We bring you a guest who has a very unexpected story about abortion in her past. And some of the people are more high profile than others, but all of us know what it is to have made this fatal mistake and yet to be redeemed, restored, and in God's good graces and have peace with God and peace in our hearts and peace in our close relationships. It's a live and interactive program, so you can call and talk with the guests, and it's just a joy to be able to offer that. We're in 10 markets right now, and if you go to cradlemyheart.org, our website, you'll see if there's a station in your market, or you can also find a link to listen online. So we do stream live on the Internet as well.
Amen. Well, I'm interested in getting your archives and play them on our station, so we definitely could talk afterwards about that and how I can get those. Put them on our live talk shows channel, so we'd love to have your programs on there. They're going to help someone tremendously. So
fabulous! That's a great opportunity, and I thank you for that. Very interested.
Yeah, it's all about just getting the knowledge and out there and the word out there to people, and God will do the rest. You know, we've averaged, oh my gosh, 172 hours of listening just the other day on our counseling and prayer channel, and that's just amazing. People are searching and looking for stuff online. I mean, they catch it on the regular broadcast and stuff, but then when they don't get everything they want, they still go online and look for it. It's the first place people look is online for answers.
Well, and it's private, and so for this issue, I understand that, and I think that's a great way for people to connect.
Amen. Give us all your contact information and everything for everybody that they want to go to your websites.
Yeah, it's real simple. It's just cradlemyheart.org. And there you will find information on the book, and it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, all the major booksellers, the Christian bookstores. You'll find information about my speaking ministry. I'd love to come and speak for your group. You know, the fee is never a barrier because it's just my heart to share what God has done for me. You'll find out about, you know, who's coming up on the radio broadcast week in and week out. You can go to the archives and listen to the podcasts of former programs, and it's all there for you at cradlemyheart.org.
Amen, amen. Well, Kim, thank you so much for being with us on the air again. We have a Skype at about 1:30, right? We're going to have a Skype interview. You're on today's.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, she's going to be on our TV program as well. So, so amen. I'll give you a call back in just a few minutes. I'm going to close out the show. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Amen. And that was Miss Kim Cotola. Her websites, again, are cradlemyheart.org or .com, cradlemyheart.com, and then also kimcotola.com. So for those that are listening and you need this kind of help, and that's why we put the shows together, is to be a blessing. To be a blessing to people and to be a blessing to you and to give you options on how God can minister in your life. That's why we have so much variety on our station, is because I know that not every person is going to reach. I'm not going to reach everybody, and not every person I have on the air is going to reach everybody. But with a mixture of us, we're going to reach a lot of people. Anyway, my friends, God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the show. Once again, it's always good to see God just move and do the things that He's doing And remember, we have coming up this next week, we have some more special broadcasts, and we'll put those announcements online as well. But until next time, my friends, God bless you. I want to thank my guest, Kim Cotullo, for being on the air with us. And we'll see you next time on The Midwatch. Remember, write me, my friends. David@RevMediaNetwork.com. God bless you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.